the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman and another installment of the Approaching the Natural podcast. If you're just joining me, I come here each week to discuss my views and philosophy of health and happiness, how to live better in the modern world, how to achieve a better life through my unique brand of small steps, which is essentially my system of how to incorporate true, sustainable, long-term change. The inflection was up at the end as if that was a question. Change? But no, no, friends, it was a statement. Bringing it back down. Change. Boom. Okay. If you're just joining me, you'll find out how it rolls here. It's sort of a secret society, but it's not secret on purpose. What? Hey. Thanks for joining me. If this is your first time, appreciate it. I know I've gotten some new listeners lately, and that's kind of cool. Not even kinda. It's just cool. And so that's a good thing. And so for those of you who've been here before, welcome back, right? You know how it rolls. You can find me all over the place by just Googling Sid Garza Hillman, especially Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Strava. Still my fave out there. It's a tie, YouTube and Strava. Probably YouTube just because I'm really enjoying the videos. I'll have another one coming fairly soon. If you haven't seen my race, Garza Hillman Race Day, you can get on there and check that out. If you're new to the channel, you'll see my salad video. This is a frickin' salad. I kind of made that the headliner because that's the one that's the most popular. So that's up there. If you go pop on there, you'll see that one first. And that'll give you a sense of what's going on here. Important stuff, you guys. I have an espresso rolling today. Not only do I have an espresso, but I bought my wife, and now, of course, I'm using it. I bought her those to-go mugs that are going in a car, and it's metal, and it got a little cap on it. But it's for an espresso. So it's like this cute little guy. Hi, little guy. Hi, little espresso, hot espresso holder. And it keeps espressos hot for a long time. Now, in case you're worried, don't be worried. My pinky is still out. It's I'm an aristocrat that way. Bit of a fancy lad. My pinky is out when I drink an espresso. Because it's the correct way to do it. Okay, I always, always dance for the man. SidGarzaHillman.com is my website, as it were. You can find out about me as a health coach, nutritionist. And also, if you're a fan of the podcast and want to support the podcast in more ways than listening and telling a friend and throwing me down an iTunes review, got a couple more of those. Awesome. Thank you very much. But you can get an Approaching the Natural t-shirt, mugs, and bracelets. You can buy my book. You can donate through the website. I don't know if you can't buy the book through the website, but that's all over the place. Amazon and stores and Barnes & Noble, all that kind of stuff. But you can hit the donate button and do that too. Thank you very much for those of you who've done it already. In addition to being a private health coach, I also run the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn on the Mendocino coast of California. Head up their wellness center, stanfordinn.com. I'm just about to launch next year's retreats. There's going to be a cooking retreat. There's going to be a few of them small steps retreats. Here's the new one. I'm pre-announcing this, even though it's not smart for me to pre-announce because I don't even have dates firm. But the Stanford Inn is a vegan resort, so it's what it is. Men's running retreats, three of them, I think. And with a special guest from all the way across the country. Can't announce yet, but it looks like it's going to happen. I'm super excited about this. And so very space limited, like to 10 people. We're going to keep it to 10 people and just do like a men's running retreat. Okay. Got approached by a couple guys. One of them is my Canadian friend, Neil. Just that's how he's named. The other is my German friend, Bernard. Both said, we should do a men's running retreat here. And that was the Canadian. The German guy, I don't know. I think he sounded British. Sounded foreign, I'll tell you that much. Okay. Nothing like an espresso at night. What else do I got going? Portland Veg Fest. I'm speaking there. I just emailed today. I'm like, guys, I'm not on the website yet. Can you just throw that up there so that, you know, people go to the website and they can actually see me? Because they just, I think in the last 2 days, started putting the speakers on the list. Anyway, unless there's something I don't know, I'm speaking there. Had it in writing. So, you know. Anyway, that's November 14th and 15th. And I'm in Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd. You can go to healthfest.com, and I am there, by gum. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, will you? Okay, so speaking of new listeners, I got a really nice email from a new listener, and I'll tell you a little story about how that came to be. I won't give, you know, too many details because it's not like relevant, but there was a really nice guy who came to the Stanford Inn a while back, a few weeks back, and took a class with me, took a cooking class, had a really good time, shot me an email, had some questions. One of the questions that he asked, because he had sort of binge listened to the podcast after leaving the inn, which is cool. And he had a few questions. And so one of the questions he asked about, and he's new to the podcast, was about addiction. And he said, you know, you really, you know, you say you crave the big freaking salad that you have. Doesn't that make you a little bit of an addict? Now, what I responded, which is probably what if you know the podcast and know where I come from, you probably know I responded this way. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not at all, because I'm freaking perfect. I'm perfect. How would I be an addict if I were the vision of perfection that I am? I'm a guru. You guys know that. You should follow me. Do exactly what I do and do exactly what I say. Not even what I do, because I don't practice what I preach. Just on principle. It's like, I'm not going to practice what I preach, but do what I tell you to do. Okay? Do what I tell you to do. I also have, a little bit of supernatural stuff going on that I can do. I've turned water into water. I have turned blood into blood oranges. There's a few things that they're my strengths. They're what define me. I'm not an addict, okay? Because of that, there's no weakness in me. That's a weakness. There's no weakness in me. If you've been to this podcast before, this is no surprise to you. If you're just joining me, you don't know what the hell's going on right now. That's okay. Just do what I tell you to do. Do you see how I got you? And you, by the way, should be very afraid. I want to instill fear in most people who listen to me. Like drink espresso, for instance, and put butter in it. Because if you don't do that, you're probably going to die. I'm going to put that out there, because then you'll do what I tell you to do, because you know that this is important stuff. Okay, put butter in your coffee because you might die. Okay, truth be told, what I wrote back to him was, no, I am not, and this is the truth, I'm not a little bit of an addict, I'm a total addict. Okay, now here's the thing. I want to clarify about that. And I've talked about addiction before, so I'll revisit it again, because it was a long, long time ago. I think before the 50 that you can get on iTunes right now, because you can only go back and get the most recent 50. I've never met a human being in the modern world who's not an addict. And here's what I mean. If you think about food, about what you feel like eating tonight, if you flavor food, if you cook food, if you salt food, if you combine food, if you say to yourself, that was good, that was tasty. If you talk to somebody and you describe to them a meal that you had yesterday, you know what I had for dinner last night? Oh my God, it was so good. I had this lentil soup with blah, blah, blah on it. That's pleasure center stuff, guys. I've never seen a human being who just generally eats. Look, they're probably out there. But the effort that it would take to remove 100% of the addictive kinds of qualities that food carries in the modern world, you would have to probably take yourself out of the modern world to achieve that. Okay? I'm going to get deep on this, but the fruit that we grow is sweeter than it used to be. All these kinds of things, because it's not. I still eat a ton of fruit. In fact, I'm on a fruit day today. But the fact of the matter is, if there is enjoyment around food, that's because... And I'm not trying to take that away from anybody, by the way, the opposite of that, okay? I'll get to that in a second. But if you discuss food, if you look forward to a meal, then there's addiction. The reason why, by the way, I'm on a fruit-only day today, and there's struggle about that, even though I actually really like the fruit, but there's a struggle that's because of the addiction. Now, what I do when I recalibrate with my fruit-only day is sort of be like, okay, let's get that back into perspective. I'm enjoying I'm more on that in a minute. But I'm enjoying that sort of process that I'm going through each week. Now, last week I didn't do it, but that's what it is. Like I said, more on that in a second. The fact of the matter is, I don't think it's smart or prudent or productive for somebody to sort of convince themselves that they're not addicted to food when we are, and that's okay. The only question is this: what food are you addicted to? What food gives you pleasure? My big freaking salad gives me pleasure. I look forward to that salad. And here's the thing, not because I'm weird, and I am weird. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not because I'm weird. It's because I took the time over time for a series of reasons, one of which was my chronic asthma, one of which was that I was getting to be in my 40s and wanted to continue the level of exercise and energy that I have and pleasure in my life and joy. For a few reasons, I transitioned myself via my own small step approach to enjoy this now. But the enjoyment, it wasn't to take the enjoyment away. And this is the thing I have to hammer home virtually every week, which is, you're not small stepping into misery. You're just small stepping into enjoying new things that are also happen to be a little bit healthier. And they don't have to be a big freaking salad ever. I'm just saying there are things that I enjoy now, like brown rice, and I never used to like brown rice at all. In fact, I could, in the beginning, couldn't even conceive of not eating white rice, and the first few bites of brown rice, I was like, oh man, I really miss white rice. Now I actually don't. And even when I transitioned to brown rice basically full time, I would have white rice now and then and go, oh man, I remember this. But now I don't. I actually don't like white rice. It's what it is. Your taste buds change, all these kinds of things. But what stays consistent and true if you do this the right way, you guys, is the enjoyment. That's we are addicted to feeling good because we're designed to be happy and healthy. This is what I get to every week. We're designed to be happy and healthy. We get into trouble because the things that can deliver us happiness in the modern world are oftentimes not healthy for us. That puts us in a very, very disadvantageous position when we want pleasure and happiness, and there's alcohol and drugs and manufactured processed foods that can deliver that in spades, that give us that pleasure like nobody's business. That's when we get into trouble. And the only way, I'm going to say only way, well, Sid, that sounds militant. Okay, good. Let's move on and get some work done. The only way to get on top of this is to think, is to pay attention, is to be more aware, is to do the job of living well in the modern world. And to do that, it means engaging. It's engaging more. You may not do anything particularly in your life that looks at all like what I do. Great, that's the idea. I'm not a guru. I don't want you to do what I tell you to do. I want you to approach your life. I want you to try what I advocate on for size, because I do think it's a great way, but I ain't filling in the spaces for you. I'm not filling in what makes you happy. I'm just saying, if you engage in your life, you can figure that out for yourself. That's the empowerment of this. Okay? I'm always sensitive, and everybody who knows me and has ever worked with me, I don't want you hooked into me. I don't want you feeling like you can't progress without me, because then that means I have not done my job, which is to get you to understand how I work, how my approach is, so that you can take it on for yourself and go. That's ideal. Now, again, I've mentioned before, things change, life changes, you have an upset, you have a new job, you have a child, all these kinds of things. You may need to dive back in. Fine. But you don't dive back in for 10 years. You don't dive back in for 6 months. You dive back in for a month here, month there, boom, you're back in your little refresher, boom, you're off. I never wanted to be the practitioner that somebody goes, yeah, I've been seeing Sid for every 2 weeks for 10 years, once a month for 10 years, and I buy all his pills. I just buy these series of pills, and I have an appointment once a month. That's so, it's not even uninteresting. It's the opposite of the kind of person that I want to be, the kind of practitioner I want to be, which is to empower people, teaching them to do the things that they want to do in their lives better. And then they're just on their way and they're doing it. That makes me feel awesome. Yeah. And that is the point, right? I want to feel good about my job. Okay. More on job later. Okay, good. Part of this espresso, by the way, was I ran out of my roast, didn't know, and I roast my own beans, if you're just joining me. We had a class at the Stanford Inn 2 weeks ago, which was coffee roasting and raw chocolate making. I was the Nobody signed up. Nobody signed up. Who would not want to know how to roast coffee? Anyway, it was really more of an issue of that we didn't promote it very well because there's this thing we just didn't put it on. But whatever. I ran out of my dark roast, and so I had to use this backup bean that I have. Somebody gave me to try. It's a medium roast at best. I think you guys know where I stand on that. It's not right. Okay, again, like I've said before, if you're looking for floral hints in a coffee bean, it's wrong. I'm sorry. I hate to be right and wrong about some stuff, but that's where you put it. That's where you put the right and wrong, right in the coffee realm. Okay, so I think I'm pretty clear on addiction. I hope that you are. Can we become addicted to things that are debilitating? Yeah, all the time. It's called the health of the human species. It's called, you think I was going to mention drugs and alcohol, which of course they're debilitating, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff. In fact, we can become addicted to exercise in a way that's debilitating. There's a balance there. Can we expect to be addiction-free in a world that provides us with endless entertainment at our disposal and foods that get us inordinately just crazy cuckoo, no problem, and they're the cheapest game in town? Are we able to achieve an addiction-free life? No. Can we manage our addictions to make them such that our most of the time with pleasure is also happens to be nourishing and healthy? You bet. You bet. And that's the struggle. That's a struggle. Payoff, huge. I'm not going to promise you struggle-free. Why would I? Who cares? You want a successful marriage? Sure, have a successful marriage and you don't have to try. Just buy my pill. It'll make you have a successful marriage while you sleep. All the great promises of diet pills are, by the way, while you sleep. Isn't that just the ultimate human? Just like, if I could do something while I sleep, then I would have no struggle and no loss of just fun, because I could do whatever I want during the day. And then while I sleep, I could fix the car that I've always wanted to fix if I just take this pill. You want a healthy, strong marriage? It's going to take effort. It's going to be a struggle. If the payoff isn't worth it for you, then you shouldn't be married. If the payoff is worth it for you, then you'll do it because the payoff's freaking awesome. Okay, I've been married 20 years. I know a little something about that. Okay, I have 3 kids. Is there a struggle? Yes. I was just talking to a client today, and I this is not an exaggeration. My wife and I kind of feel like we're still making up sleep that was lost when we had twins, which was a whole world of pain. I've run 50 miles in a single day, kind of not like at all getting up at 3:15 after having not slept for 2 years. It was brutal. We look back and just go, oh my God. Now, in the wild, probably wouldn't have been that brutal, but with a job and with, you know, financial worries and with another child, an older child, and all the context of the things that we do in the modern world and having twins, kind of brutal. So how do we get on top of this, you guys? You decide the person that you are, just decide it, and you're going to go, but I don't really act, it, irrelevant. Who are you? Just take away everything you did today. Just take that off the table for the sake of this discussion. Who are you? Define it. Small step into it. Learn, know, and then act. The problem we get into in the modern world is in the act. Well, it's all three, because we don't spend the time to learn about ourselves, even though it doesn't take any time. So we don't know about ourselves. And if there's something we want to change, like weight loss, we don't act in a way that's sustainable and long-term. And so we jump the gun, we take on too much, we burn out, we feel failure because there is failure in that way. Whereas when you engage in small step, there's no failure, there's no perfection. You're living perfectly. You're not perfect, but you're living perfectly. That means you do things every day that are not you, that always will be. But over time, it shifts a little bit more you, a little less not you. Got it? Good. There's the addiction answer. I'm not a little bit of an addict. I'm a total addict. I'm just doing the engagement and the work to make sure it's managed in a way that makes me super freaking happy. Super freaking happy. Okay, I'm 46, almost 47. I can eat junk food all day. Nobody's in charge of me. I don't. I enjoy other food because I got bigger stuff to do than just eat. Okay, got bigger stuff. Okay, like this podcast, which I love doing. How would I be? What kind of podcaster would I be? What kind of health coach would I be if I don't live the example? Tell me that. You know what it takes for me to live the example? It takes effort. You know why I do it? Because I get emails from you guys from around the world. Just got another one from Australia. Why is Australia and New Zealand the best countries in the world? Why? You tell me. I don't know. I got to crack that nut. People who are making progress. It's inspiring. It makes me feel awesome. That's why that's a huge part of this thing, is that people are getting affected by this and taking these things on and realizing they can make themselves happier. What better job is that? There's no better job. There's no better job. Although I always wanted to own a coffee house. That may be a better job than this. I don't know. Maybe that's coming up. Okay. The small step coffee house. You just ease your way in. The door. Okay. One thing I wanted to mention today was this idea of all the modalities that we partake in which we partake. Sometimes I just hate grammar. Sometimes I just want to spit on grammar. Okay, I gotta communicate fine, but I ain't gonna do it that well sometimes. Okay. We have the inclination in the modern world to, when we have something wrong with us, especially if it's acute, like we have a back pain or we have a headache or things like the things that are readily available for us that give us great joy, like lightbox food, alcohol, drugs, okay? And other things give us great joy. I'm not saying that. I'm seeing the things that are sort of unhealthy that do that. We also have at our disposal many things that give us immediate relief. And I talked about this a few weeks ago because I did a blog post on discomfort. So read that blog post. I'm not going to go into it again here. But the point is that when we have back trouble, for instance, we have chiropractors, we have acupuncturists, we have Western medicine, we have yoga, we have Tai Chi, we have all these amazing things. Now, you're going to get mad at me when I tell you that they're not natural in the sense of our species. There's no, even the idea of me going for a run is unnatural. Now, there's degrees. That's why this podcast is called, again, I have to remind people, Approaching the Natural. Is yoga natural in the sense of moving our body? You bet. It's awesome. It's amazing. But it's not something that animals don't partake in, and we wouldn't in the wild partake in a yoga class. It's sort of like developed world kind of thing. It's great. It's fantastic. I'm not dissing it in any way, shape, or form. Neither am I doing that with Western medicine or acupuncture or Ayurveda. In fact, what I'm arguing is that because of the nutty nutness of the modern world, those things are essential. They're essential because they're there and effective to offset how crazy the things that we do in the world are. In other words, sitting in a chair at a desk is so unnatural, so structurally difficult for our bodies to withstand, that having things like acupuncture and acupressure and chiropractors are essential. They're essential. The problem that I ever always, the only issue I ever have with any of that and the model, and by the way, I'll partake in those things. I've hurt my back before, and I have a friend who's an acupuncturist, and I have, you know, and I'll go to a chiropractor if necessary. But none of those things, none, is a substitute for feeding your body well. And I just have to make this point now and then to remind people, because oftentimes people will sort of go, I see people repeatedly, this is the sort of the idea of the practitioner that you see forever. If you don't tend to your body, you're decreasing the chances that you'll be free of that like constant chronic practitioner relationship. Yes, people have back problems that are genetic. People have back problems that are so severe that yes, they have to see a practitioner. But there's, and forever. I mean, they might just have to see somebody every week. I mean, my wife has made incredible gains with her back because of diet alone, and she will tell you that. But she sees a chiropractor now and then. Why? Because she got into a super bad car accident years ago and broke her collarbone, and it never healed, even though the genius doctor said, you put two pieces of collarbone in a living room together, they'll find each other. We don't need to do surgery. It'll heal up fine. Well, her collarbone to this day is in two pieces. You can feel it. I mean, don't feel, it's my wife. Don't go feel her collarbone. I'm saying you could. And so, yeah, hell, you can. It's fine. She won't care. And so, because of that, there is a whole body sort of structural off that she's like, she can't do push-ups because that one side is weak. And so there's a discrepancy in the way that her body functions. But she, before she changed her diet, was seeing a chiropractor almost every single week. Now she goes once a month, maybe. And there's been times where she hasn't gone for like 2 years. So it also depends on how much she's working, how much she's sitting in a chair all day. You see what I'm getting at? But the foundation is providing your body the tools it needs to do its job, including keeping inflammation at bay, keeping the immune system strong, keeping the systems working optimally. Be clear, you may still need all the things I just listed, Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, Western medicine, whatever modality fits for you and works for you, you may still need those, but none are a substitute for the treatment of your body, the nourishing of your body, and what I've always said and will always say and said in my book is that food is one of the things that makes us healthy and happy, but it's the biggest determining factor. Not the only thing, but the biggest determining factor. And I just want to set that again. You may still need all those things, but you give yourself a fighting chance when you at least fuel your body well. And the thing is all those things are more effective. All those modalities are more effective when you're working on a healthy body. If you're severely overweight and have back problems, you can keep the pain at bay with acupuncture. I think acupuncture is extremely valuable. But if you've got a healthy body and you've got your body healthy and at a good weight and the physical stress of carrying that extra weight on your body was removed, you've given yourself a way better chance of being free and happier and healthier as a result of that, and being maybe you don't less reliant on that practitioner, whatever that practitioner is, including me, right? Okay, so just want to be clear, I'm putting that out there. Got it? Okay, moving on. I just want to also one more point, and this is actually more important than the points I just made, okay? Is my espresso still hot? It's still hot in this cute little espresso. Hilo guy. It's innate. It's called innate. Innate. I don't sell it. I'm not connected to it. Just go on Amazon. Jiminy Christmas. Jeez. You're very critical today. You guys are very critical. I talked last week about the habit of consumption that beyond the addiction. Whoa. Went there again. Beyond the addiction of the taste of food and things, we also have an addiction to consumption, and I call it the habit of consumption, but it's kind of an addiction. Because we have access, we can consume things all day. We get used to consuming things all day. This has been extremely interesting for me in the context of my fruit-only days. If you're just joining me, a few times now, and I mean a few, last week I didn't do it. Last week was interesting because I intended to do it, and then my wife roasted a bunch of vegetables for the kids. I got home and I made quinoa, and I was like, damn. Talk about addiction there. And I kind of justified it. I felt okay. But at the same time, I was like, okay. Part of the struggle with me is, again, this like the taste of food and the habit of what I do generally. And I'm not going to belabor that point. The fruit thing is very interesting because this is the discomfort thing. I'm putting myself in this situation where at the same time, I'm intentionally putting myself in an uncomfortable situation. At the same time, I'm doing it because I know the payoff of tomorrow waking up is going to feel so dang good on many levels, physically just being one of them, but also mentally. So it's this weird thing of like, short term, I'm going, man, I just want to have the dinner. I want to have the salad. And most people be like, you're talking about a salad. It's not about the salad. Okay. It's not about, of course, the salad's healthy. I feel better when I do a fruit-only day, especially given the weekend, which I'll get into at the end of this podcast. The day that I had yesterday, can't even imagine. It was nutty nut nut to like a whole nother level. So because of the weekend I had and the food I ate and everything else, I love cleaning out. It feels good one day. I wouldn't do it every day. I wouldn't do fruit every day. Miserable to me. But one day, I should be able to handle that. There's the should, right? Okay. When I have that struggle, which I had today, and I just acknowledge it and go, yeah, it's a struggle. Yeah, I wish I could eat that. Let's put it out there. Put it on the table. It goes away every single time. I realize it's really not that bad. I get to still satisfy the habit of consumption. So there's sort of that other addiction thing going on there, which is that I'm used to sort of eating things or drinking things. We all are. I'm drinking an espresso right now. Okay. Now, somebody out there is going, you're doing a fruit-only day and you're drinking espresso? I'm not doing it. That's not why I'm not on a cleanse. I'm not on a cleanse. I'm eating something that's really easy to digest all day so I can sort of get myself back, but it's also fully a mental thing for me, way more than it is at all nutritional, Okay, I'm telling you right now. Okay. What is making me think about this today is that I'm satisfying my consumption habit. And the more that I've done these fruit-only days, I've said, the easier they become. But I want to clarify something, and I think I need to clarify it because I clarified it to myself today. It's easier not because the pangs of, well, I wish I could have my salad, or craving my salad, or craving whatever dinner, my, you know, pasta or whatever that I have sometimes on my salad, all these kinds of things. That doesn't go away. The pangs of, like, the cravings, those don't go away. The reason why this process is easier for me is because I know what's coming and I'm used to it. So when I start the fruit-only day, there's my arsenal. I referred to it a few podcasts back, my arsenal of experience. I have experience with this. I know what's coming. I know that in the beginning of the day, fruit, no problem. 3, 4 p.m., fruit, no problem. 5 p.m. on the way home becomes a problem, because that's when without thinking about it, I'm picturing the salad I'm going to have with my quinoa on it and my blah, blah, blah. What doesn't matter? Doesn't matter. It could be your fried chicken. It doesn't matter. That's when I know. But see, I know it's coming. I know that's coming. So yesterday, after just eating crappy, I told my wife, I go, I really want to do a fruit only day tomorrow. I know it's going to be rough. Please help me get through it, because I really want to do it. I'm feeling really weighed down and really backed up. Not like backed up. I'm not going there. Stop. Okay. I'm used to it. My brain today has become what I call outcome shifted. So what I'm able to do with more experience under my belt with this kind of thing, and it could be for you, it could be a day that you choose to, you know, run an hour one day a week or whatever it is, or walk an hour. I'm becoming outcome shifted. Over time with my experience, I'm really focusing more percentage of my brain power on this to how I'm going to feel tomorrow. I mean, that has become rooted strongly in the earth, which is this feeling. Again, because I have experience that I know what's coming. Not only do I know the struggle's coming, but I know the outcome's coming. I know what it's going to feel like. The problem with a lot of the things that we jump into, and by the way, I didn't jump into fruit as much as I eat. I've been doing this for over 2 years now. I'm used to eating a ton of fruit. Got no problems there. It was just literally one more meal, because some days I eat fruit up until dinner. So this is like, it wasn't that big of a deal. For many people, you're going to go, that's the craziest thing. Yeah, it may be crazy for you. It just wasn't crazy for me when I did it, okay? There's people doing way more stuff than what I do, okay? This is just for me. But the experience you get, you have to remember, is you know not only the struggle that's coming, but you also know the payoff. That's when you start really becoming outcome shifted, when you start really zoning in on the payoff, you're good. It's gonna keep getting easier. The problem is when we jump on things like diets, we don't actually know the payoff. We've never necessarily lived cleanly or eaten really well. And some diets are nutty, nut, nut. I'm not saying that, but let's assume it's a healthy food diet. We don't know what that feels like because we've never felt good. We don't know. We do know what it feels like to eat food that gets us high. We do know that what it feels like to drink alcohol. We don't know what it's going to be like to not do those things most of the time. That's a really weird thing. We need to get a taste of what that feels like. And then we go, oh, I see. The way to get a taste of how you feel when you nourish yourself mentally and physically, it's a small step your way in to do little things to empower you, to give you self-esteem, to give you self-confidence. You get little, again, arsenal of experience. You start to experience the good and the struggle. You start to experience the payoff and the struggle. You get to know both. Okay, I know what's going on. I know my opponent here, but I also know what it's going to feel like to win. So I'm going to do the work. I'm going to train and I'm going to do the work. I'm going to keep my practice going because I know what is going to happen. How cool is that? And how crucial thought and attention are. How crucial thought and attention are. Because when I took a little bit of time to just acknowledge on my way home, oh, this is the time where I have the struggle and I start focusing on the salad and whatever else, it went away. The craving went away. I verbalized it. I put it out there. Go, okay, yeah, that's that thing. Totally not me, but I was able to assess that it wasn't me because I took the time. What time do you take? If I wasn't thinking, I would come home and eat something without thinking about it. But you have to understand that the craziness and distractions in our lives, the times where we're just like off the rails, those should be the once in a whiles. Those should be like, oh man, that day, but not like, oh, that 10 years I was off the rails, right? It should be the once in a while, not the norm. The norm should be basic engagement in life, paying attention to what you put in your body, paying attention to moving, pay attention to being present with your family, doing some creative pursuits. Once in a while, ah, crap, I lost it that day. I mean, there's no way to get around that, by the way, in the modern world. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's no way to get around times where we fall off the wagon, okay? Now, I don't mean in the alcoholic realm. I just mean in our lives, where we go a little extreme, we get a little nutty, nut, we get distracted, we have times of inordinate stress, and we just try to get through those times. It's just what it is. We're living in a world where, like I've said how many times, 1,000 times, we're a natural being in an unnatural world that puts us at a disadvantage, that puts us in an environment that doesn't make success easy. And because of that, we continue, small steppers do, you guys do, people who know the secret handshake, take little moments every day to ourselves to reground, to reconnect, to reengage, and then move on. And we know what's coming. We know we're going to have times where we just go nutty, nut, nut, fine. But we have less weight to those times because we know the big picture. We know the most of the time of our lives. We know who we are, and we negotiate better because of it. Moving on. What I wanted to mention was just an interesting little tidbit. And that is that when I trained for my 50, I gained a couple pounds. Now, I know that's going to be weird, but again, people go, oh, he can eat whatever he wants. He's training for, no, I can't. I couldn't. Okay. I eat pretty well. Like I said, I think the process was extremely successful. I did not get sick. I did not get injured. I finished the race really well. I recovered extremely well. But there was a little bit of fat around my midsection. Probably what that means is that it was a little bit of muscle wasting and a little bit more of fat conservation. Those two things are, by the way, stress related. Boom. And I knew I was under stress. Fine. I'm back down to my fighting weight. Okay. And did I say I lost, I gained 1 or 2 pounds? I actually gained, sorry, I'm reading my notes. I gained about 7 or 8 pounds. Okay. My scale weight went up about 7 pounds. Okay. Now I'm back down. I'm back down to my fighting weight. The race was in April. So May, June, July, August, September. That's about 5 months, 4 to 5 months to lose 7, 8 pounds. Guess what that is? 1 to 2 pounds a month, right in the pocket. I've mentioned that before, that my opinion on this is real sustainable weight loss probably is around on average. Average, really important that you understand it's average, 1 to 2 pounds a month. Usually you lose a little more in the beginning and then it sort of settles and then you kind of plateau, et cetera, et cetera. But on average, 1 to 2 pounds a month, totally appropriate. Totally appropriate. Here's a bummer. Here's what I just buzzkilled everything. Because if you're 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight, you're looking at a long time, aren't you? 30 pounds overweight, 1 to 2 pounds a month, 15 months, you're looking at 1 to 2 years. Possibly. What I ask you is, if that's appropriate, now you can speed that up, by the way. You can speed it up. You can go on a cleanse. You can go on Atkins diet. You can go on all those thousands of diets. But what I'm talking about here, just to stay on point here, is real loss, is real weight loss, real weight loss. What I lost in the last 5 months is real because I didn't do a crash thing. It's manageable. I'm managing it because it's what I do every day. I'm not on a diet. I never was. I lowered the stress, let my body do its thing. Okay, the question you should ask yourself if you're deciding that you would like to lose weight, and by the way, you know how I feel about that. I think the decision that you're trying to make is that you want to live better and feel better and have more energy. That's really what we're talking about here, so let's stay on point. It's not about weight loss. It's about feeling good and living happy and doing cool stuff in your life. That's really what we're trying to do, whatever that does for you, whatever floats your boat in that regard. Okay, the question you should ask yourself is simply this. What are you going to do with your time? If it takes you 1 to 2 years to 3 years to get to a healthy weight, what are you going to do with that time? You can't focus on diet for 3 years. It's a virtual impossibility. You can't go on a diet for 3 years. It's a virtual. You're going to have to figure out a way to make this a part of your life. So, okay, fine. You know where I stand. Small step and boom. But what are you going to do with your time? Because after a while, when you start doing that, you're still going to have all this leftover time. You got to figure out a way to make this work for 1 to 2 years. But really, guys, wink, wink, for the rest of your life. What to do with your time that you're not trying to get this done in a month with a stupid diet that's going to take you hours of time? Forget about the recipes and the ingredients lists and the planning and the missing out on social engagements. How about just the mental energy of this? I take one fruit day a week. That's hard. I'm not, the idea of doing this every day for 30 days or 21 days is so not, there's no mode. I don't know. Maybe it'd be great. I have no idea. Totally not willing to try right now. Maybe I will. I don't know. But right now, not a chance. What to do with your time? What to do with your time if you're a small stepper right now and you understand that true sustainable change takes time and that you can't do this overnight. And so you're setting yourself up on a, let's say it's not about weight loss. Let's say it's becoming happy in your life. Maybe it's becoming, running an ultra. That's what you want to do. It's going to take 1 to 2 years to do that. Maybe it's building a business that you want to do. Maybe it's pursuing guitar, learning how to do play a music instrument. It's going to take you time, isn't it? What are you going to do with that time? Family, art, fun exercise, reading, writing. When I thought about this, I thought, thank goodness that sustainable weight loss takes this much time. Thank goodness. You want to know why? If it was a pill, you would miss out on this amazing opportunity to find out who you are, what you stand for, and how strong you actually are. Thank goodness it takes this long. You need that long to learn how to make it real and lasting. You need that much time to make it real and long lasting, whatever it is. If it's weight loss, fine. But like I said, all these other things. To make it real and long lasting, to make it actually affect your life on a deep self-esteem, confidence level, it's got to take time. It's got to take time. You cheat that. You cheat the process. You cheat the benefit that you get from taking on a real process. You cheat the self-esteem. People lose weight. It doesn't make them happy because they haven't learned anything about themselves. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The benefit of doing the small steps is so far beyond the steps themselves. It's just not even funny. Not even funny. The espresso is pretty much done. A little lukewarm now. Okay. So, 42 minutes in. Boom. Okay. Wanted to mention, I'm going to go ahead and get into the one last point I'm going to make before I get into the subject. Okay. Jobs come up a lot in my private practice with people that I'm working with and in my own life and just people that I, podcast listeners too. The concept of job, which I mentioned, I think recently, is fairly new. Actually, it's very interesting. I think I read it first in a Tom Robbins book. I love Tom Robbins as an author. If you guys know him, Jitterbug Perfume, amazing. I don't know him. He's just fantastic. Okay, cool. But the whole concept of a job is sort of a weird thing. Like we go to a job. We don't hunt for food. In other words, we don't forage for food. We have a job. We et cetera, et cetera. We go to this job. It's what we do. Work and working, totally what we've always done, but going to a job is kind of a relatively new facet of the human experience. Most people find their jobs stressful. It does put us in a weird situation. We're away from our families. We're not connected to our finding of food. We're not moving our bodies. We're not escaping predators. We're outside of the food chain, et cetera, et cetera. This thing of going to a job, especially if you're commuting in a car and then you're sitting in an office, it puts us in a weird place and a place of possible stress in many times, right? There's two ways to handle the job. One way is to find a better way to enjoy your job. One way is to do the small steps work of becoming a person who engages more deeply in their job, finds creative ways to make it better for yourself, doing, again, like I always say, the best you can do for your life every day. I'm going to do the best I can for myself. Well, if that means owning your job better, doing it better, easier said than done for most people, right? Well, I work in this job and it just sucks and that's what it is. Okay, fine. Then if that's the case and your job is what it is, then make your small steps practice about all things non-work related. Put your energy, do your job, but put your energy into when you're not at work, What are you doing then? Are you small stepping into little music? Are you more present in your family time? Here's a big one. Are you minimizing the time you talk about work when you're outside of work? See, the thing is a lot of our jobs are stressful. And then when we get home, what do? We talk about our stressful jobs. And that stress response in our body happens all over again, because we talk about the thing that happened at work and we relive it in a sense in our minds. The brain gets the same trigger and sends the little message down the axis to give us a stress response. How much are you talking about your stressful job and reliving it? Can you small step to the point where, okay, your job's the constant, fine. You can't change it, fine. But can you change the quality of when you're not at work? Can you change the quality of that time? Can you walk in the door a different person than you were yesterday, or more you, I would say, to where you walk in the door and you're more present with your partner, with your kids, et cetera, et cetera? Yes is the answer. Yes. I didn't even wait for your answer because I freaking know the answer. All right. So I wanted to mention that just because jobs come up a lot and that's what it is. And I struggle with the same thing. And I like my job, but there's things that happen that are stressful. It's just living, you guys. Just crazy stuff happens. What it is. How do you handle it? Can you leave it when you come home? To what extent can you? Okay. Real effort that I'm making in that arena. Just personally, just letting you know about that. Because you were wondering. You weren't wondering. Okay, running to the middle. That's the subject of this podcast. I'm going to touch on this again real quick, and then I'm going to tell you about my day that I had yesterday. I was just thinking about running to the middle in politics in the United States anyway. And this is, by the way, United States, only country that there's no corruption in politics. Did you guys know that? Isn't that amazing? Best country in the world. We don't have corruption in our political system. Blows my mind, like virtually every other country does. No corporate involvement, just like people, ideas, discussions. Like, it's vibrant. It's like being on a, you know, in America, it's like being on a college campus, like just people sitting around with coffee and philosophy book, and everyone's just talking about ideas. And when you hear an awesome idea and it's the opposite of what you used to think, you go, you know what? You're freaking right. You just changed my mind, sir, ma'am or ma'am. Very exciting time. In American politics, and I know that people listen all over the world, just bear with me on this analogy, will you, for crying out loud? A lot of candidates will campaign on the fringe. They'll appeal, they'll get their fringe element excited and energized. They'll say the things that people want to hear, and they'll get people excited about somebody finally telling them what they think is the truth and having the courage to do it. But usually when that person is elected, what do? They run to the middle. They run to the middle. They govern from the middle. Now, in politics, why do they do that? They do that because they can get more things done in a more balanced way. See where I'm going with this? So too with small steps. We have and always will have in our lives extreme times. I touched on this earlier. Now again, I want to stress this point real quick. Extreme, the word, is relative to each individual life. You want to talk about the differentiation of people? It's what's extreme for you. Because a fruit-only day for me once in a while is not extreme. It sounds extreme to many other people. It's not extreme for me. It's what's extreme for you that I'm talking about and what's extreme for me. Okay? That's not an objective, just like that's extreme and that's not extreme. In the context of your life, you will have times that are extreme. Extreme times, meaning familial upset, losing a job, getting laid off, having to move. I'll touch on this in a second when I talk about my crappy day, but there's a massive fire, if you're listening to this in September 2015, massive fire in my area. Massive. 1,000 homes yesterday were destroyed. That's extreme. Major upset. There's always going to be those times where you swing super wide, where you swing this way, the other way, super wide. But the general living, the general way to be most effective in your own life is to come at your life from a most of the time balanced place for two reasons. One, you can get the job done better from a place of balance. And two, you're better prepared for the extreme times when they're the once in a while, when they're not your most of the time. But politicians know this well, and regardless of whether they're dishonest or honest, they understand that once they're in office, to be as effective as possible, they need to sort of work with everybody and be in a place where they're accessible and can get stuff done in a real way. There's balance, even in politics, at least in America, with all its faults, there's still some sort of balance. You can't have a total nutty nut-nut because there's enough checks and balances. We have to achieve in our lives enough of checks and balances in our own lives such that when we start to stray, or we stray a little bit, we have somebody in our brain, ideally, to check us. But see, that's where relationships come in handy too. That's why I've always been a huge proponent and devoted an entire chapter in my book to the social network, because that's essentially the checks and balances that ensures a greater chance of success in the modern world, is to have a system of checks and balances that we can draw upon when we feel like we're going off the rails, or when we do go off the rails. When we go off the rails, that's why I talk to my wife and go, yesterday, can you help me get through this day? It's something I want to do. I'm not trying to cause myself pain. I'm trying to feel better, and I want to know that I have the power to do that. The power I have to get through a day of fruit only is partially dependent on my wife being there to help me get through that. That's powerful to me. I don't need anybody. I do. That's the beauty of the human experience. We share things. We can support each other. But we can also learn to support ourselves through this process. What checks and balances do you have? Are you mostly in the middle, or are you running extreme a lot? Are you sick and then you're better, and then you have huge relation drama? People have just drama in their lives and all these problems all the time. What's your general? Again, always comes down to what's your mot? What's your day-to-day? Okay. I'm going to finish with a quick story because it was something that happened to me yesterday. We're getting a horse, okay? That's just what it is. That's not even a metaphor. We are literally getting a horse. My wife's cousin is giving us a rescue horse, okay? My daughter's 11. She loves horses. We're getting a horse. Now, that all sounds fantastic. But yesterday, my wife and I took a trip to go get stuff to repair and build our fence around this little piece of land. I live pretty rural, you guys, okay? So just what it is. We took a trip to go down to pick up the food. Sorry, the fencing. Now, I said food by mistake, I swear, because part of it was that we had lunch with my parents. I'll get to that in a second. Okay, so we go down, we borrow a truck from the Stanford Inn, and I'm going to make this super short, I swear. We're going down, we're trucking out, 2.5 hour drive, but up here driving is like not that big of a deal because I'm 3 hours away from a nearest airport, okay? That's how rural I am. Okay, so we get in the truck, and we go all the way down, and we save a bunch of money by doing this, by the way. So we go to this place, and we, you know, whatever hardware store, we load the wood up, and it's a lot. It's a lot of wood, more than I like even kind of realized. And so we're loading this up in the truck. We drive across the street. We meet my parents at this place, this organic drive-through restaurant, amazing, first of its kind, super awesome. And we head back, and more on that in a second. We head back, and on our way back, so far we're just clicking, just perfect day, loaded up, good, boom. We stop for a coffee on the way back, long day. I turn a corner, going very slowly, and hit a bump, and the entire rack of top of this truck that I've had this lumber stacked on bends. To the point where it bends all the way over and is now resting on the hood, and it's going off the side of the truck. Now, this is 900 pounds of lumber, which this rack should have held, but it's old and the welding just came up apart. Boom. So I pull up and I go, this can't be good. My wife's like, I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's just a noise. I go, no. I see this is not happening. It's bent. So we park. Next thing you know, we are there for 3.5 hours. Waiting for a rental truck to arrive at the nearest U-Haul so that we can now take two trucks home, because I had to take all the lumber, my wife and I, off the rack because I can't drive home with it. This is the very example of a day where it started off really good and it ended super bad. We were supposed to be home by 3. I walked in the door at 9:15 last night, okay? And we left early in the morning. This was one of those things. Now, of course, I can get into the handling of this stress, there was a funny moment where my wife and I were talking about it, where like we're sitting at this coffee place and there was like a restaurant there that had some good choices for us. We had dinner. Like we sat there and we went, so many days we wish to have time where we can't do anything other than hang out and there's literally nothing for us to do. I didn't have my computer with me. My phone was running out of battery, so I couldn't use it. We didn't bring a phone charger. We were going to be gone for 4 or 5 hours. We're sitting there and I'm having a beer with my wife because we got 3.5 hours to go before the truck comes. So I'm like, let's have a freaking beer. And we're hanging out. We're talking. And I'm like, we die to have moments where there's nothing else that we can do at all. And it's a Sunday, so nobody's trying to reach us from work, and we can't do work even if we tried. This is like, this should be paradise. We actually made the most of it in a weird way. Like, it was not that bad. We drove home, we were tired, fine. Now, a couple real points before I get to the crux of what this is. I'm going to swing this back around to exercise. I loaded the truck, I unloaded the truck, I loaded the truck again, and I unloaded the truck, and then it was like back and forth with a lot of wood and a lot of stuff. I didn't exercise yesterday in terms of what we think of as exercise. I exercised all day, however. And I wanted to make this awareness point, which is because I'm fully aware, and I'll say that because I've done a lot of work on myself in this way, I'm aware of what my goal is day to day, which is that most days I want to move my body. That's just a goal of mine. Most days I want to move my body. Why? Because I feel really good and I think it's good for me because I've done the research on it. But I also know enough about myself and about my own hangups and about my own sort of tendencies toward militancy with regard to exercise, et cetera, where I'm very aware now that the goal is to move my body and it's not, quote, exercise, end quote. I didn't feel yesterday like, oh man, I didn't even get to exercise. I felt like, wow, I freaking exercised all day. I didn't do my integrated exercise, which I've been doing, which is my push-ups and squats on the hour. The alarm went off. I just shut it right off. Why? Because I did movement throughout the day. Movement throughout the day. The point is not to say, why don't you guys lift and unload lumber all day? The point is to say, when you keep yourself engaged in the process of your life, when you keep yourself engaged in the practice of small stepping, oftentimes you feel good about things you did because you're able to be aware of the things you did. If I was hung up on what exercise is, what somebody told me exercise is, I would have been like, man, crappy day and I didn't get to exercise. Instead, I was like, yeah, it could have been worse and freaking exercised. How great. That's called positive. That's called feeling good. That's called, yeah, crappy day, fine. Now, who was having a crappier day? The people who lost their homes in the fire yesterday. And this is not one of those things of like, you know, you got it good comparatively. It's all relative to us. But I was in direct contact with these people because they were coming to where we were. There was families in cars with a bunch of stuff. You could tell they just threw in the car and they were told to evacuate. This fire went, it was rapid fire. It went from 0 to 100,000 acres in like a day and a half. You can read about it. The Valley Fire, crazy stuff. Smoke in the air. If you hear any raspiness in my voice, it's because I ended up being there for, you know, 9 hours yesterday in the smoke. Like I wasn't in the fire, but there was smoke in the air. And I woke up feeling it today. So it was that experience yesterday that, again, these are just sort of the awareness moments that I had to look at this and go, okay, well, there's a few things going on here. It's more complicated than just saying, well, I made the best of it. But it's like I'm noticing the benefit of my small steps approach, even in areas where I didn't see that coming. Now, was there moments where I wanted to turn into like a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old and throw a tantrum? It feels crappy when there's like nothing you can do about it. We found literally one truck available and it wasn't going to be showing up for another 3.5 hours. There was nothing. We were trapped. I kept thinking, what? There's got to be something I can do. There's got to be something I can do. And there was finally a point where I was like, there's literally nothing we can do right now. There's nothing we can do other than hang out and wait for this truck. And it was at that point that I was liberated and free. I didn't pound my fist and go, grab, grab, grab. There's nobody to blame. It's just what happened. It could have been a lot worse. There was no accident. I was safe. We were at a coffee house for crying out loud. I didn't have to pound my fist. I didn't have to throw a tantrum. Didn't want it. I finally realized it's what it is. And you're liberated when you realize what you can do and that you're doing the best you can. You're liberated from all the things that bring you down in other ways. When you don't feel like that, when you feel like you've got to have control in times when you literally don't have control, you care a lot less. Pretty great. So that was my day yesterday. Now, I'll leave you with this. I have done 104 episodes, and I'm not shutting it down. I thought about shutting it down. Here's why. When I was in the restaurant, having lunch with my folks, standing in line, and I think about the podcast a lot. I'm always making notes. It's sort of, I'm noticing my own. I'm going to maybe start to translate this a little more into my videos too, just in terms of my day-to-day experiences and kind of how this goes. And I'm thinking about things is what I do. I think about things and I take notes and then I share them with you. Okay. Hopefully you get benefit. If, at least if you live in Australia, for crying out loud. But because I'm aware of the podcast and because I'm aware of notes and my own thought processes, and I'm kind of making mental notes and even actual notes, I notice things sometimes. So I'm standing in line and I'm hanging out and in through the door. And by the way, yesterday, because of all these things, I didn't really have this week's episode nailed down yet. I had some beginning notes, but I hadn't had it fully nailed down. In through the door, this is sort of like, if you want to get new agey, like the universe speaking to me. In through the door, a woman walks, and on her shirt it's a black shirt, big, bold, white writing. Okay, now I'm sitting here and I'm kind of actually thinking about, I'm standing in line, I'm kind of having a moment to myself, thinking about the day, and this hadn't gone south yet, right? So I was going, hey, what a nice day, being with family. But I was thinking about the podcast too, what am I going to talk about? Door opens, woman walks through, black shirt, bold white type, so bold, so big that I couldn't not read it. And it said this, and I'll leave you with this thought. This is how amazing this is to me. It said the following. And if you want, take out your pen because you're going to want to write this down, or you can rewind it and write it down. It said, life ain't nothing but bitches and money. Life ain't nothing but bitches and money. Now, there was a moment of dread in my brain because I've done 104 episodes now. I've gone deep on addiction. I've gone deep on most of the time, on perfection, on failure, on happiness, on health. I have tried to figure this out for myself. I've tried to help people figure it out. When after all is said and done, life ain't nothing but bitches and money. And I went, damn it. I felt like I kind of wasted my time. But then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not done yet, because now I can go deep on bitches and money, and I'm going to do that next week. And because I want to do it for you guys and help you. So next week, we're going deep. We're going deep on bitches and money, because life ain't nothing but those two things. I will be back next week, so get ready, because it's big time then. And in the meantime, be well.
And all the things you thought you'd get. is a prison. But it isn't. Feels like it's sleeping, but it's too much awake. And if you'd gone the other way, you'd be sitting nice and safe, pulling your hair out and shutting your eyes out, and shutting your eyes. And again, when it all peels away, it's what you're left with, and the decision of where to go.